So I'll tell you the truth. The truth is I had a shear prepared. But then, kind of shear, whatever, schmooze, whatever it is. But then just a few minutes before, a little bit before I went on a Chalamay trip today. So I was sitting in the sukkah and a thought came to me. So I think we're going to say that. So I'll share with you that. You know, when it comes to Simchas Beis HaShoeva, especially by the Beis HaMikdash, you know, the Rambam describes Simchas Beis HaShoeva as a Simcha Yaseir, Lahar Beis B'Simcha, Uzmamish, Poyritz Gether, broke down all boundaries. All the tzaddikim would be dancing in front of everybody else all night long. Unbelievable Simcha. So the question is, what exactly is everyone so happy about? What is Simchas Beis HaShoeva about? What is it that we're happy about? So it's well known, for example, Rashi, that's the simple shot in the Gemara. In Bavli, it seems that the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, as the name indicates, it was a special Simcha because of a unique mitzvah that happens only once a year, which is Nisach HaMayim, to pour water on the Mizbeach. Okay. The Rambam is not like that. The Rambam says openly, at the end of Hilchas Lulav, that the inyan of Simchas Beis HaShoeva was Simchas Yontif. In other words, there's a mitzvah of a Samachta B'Chagecha, which is Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. But when it comes to Sukkos, says the Rambam, there's an inyan of a Simcha Yaseira, there's an increased level of joy, Zman Simchaseinu, and that's what Simchas Beis HaShoeva was about. But what still is unclear is, okay, so what is it about Sukkos, though? Like, what is it about Sukkos that makes such an increase in Simcha Shalaik Erech that's disproportionate to the other Yom Tovim? So the truth is, the Rambam himself kind of hints to it. Because the Rambam at the end of Hilchas Lulav again talks about Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and he says that it's because of Simchas Yontif, fine, and he describes Simchas Beis HaShoeva and Beis HaMikdash. And then at the very, very end, the Rambam talks about this whole inyan of being besimcha over Avodas Hashem. That the inyan of being besimcha when a person does mitzvahs, and to be besimcha over the Rabbanu Shel Olam who gave us the mitzvahs, it's an avoid, a gedoyla, says the Rambam, it's a big avoid, it's a very chashuv thing. A person should be willing to even lower his dignity for that purpose, like David HaMelech. What the Rambam is doing over there is obviously hinting to us what Simchas Beis HaShoeva is and why there's an increased level of Simcha and Sukkos. Is because we're using it as an excuse, to a certain degree, to be besimcha over general Avodas Hashem, the general inyan of Torah and Mitzvahs. That's what we're being besimcha about by Simchas Beis HaShoeva. But now the question is, okay, but why by Sukkos, though? I mean, if we think about it, between the Yom Tov and Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, if we're going to pick one, because they all have the Samachta B'Chagecha, so we're going to pick one to use as a launching pad to be besimcha over general Avodas Hashem. I don't know, I would say Shavuos, number one, because we got the Torah. Maybe Pesach, because that was the beginning of the Jewish people being a people, leading towards Har Sinai. But Sukkos? I mean, Sukkos is one of the Shalosh Ragon. But it's the inyan of, again, in Rashi, that it's because of Nisach HaMayim. Okay, so Nisach HaMayim is on Sukkos. But if it's just a general inyan of Avodas of Simcha over Avodas Hashem, over mitzvahs, the opportunity to do mitzvahs, why by Sukkos? There's a number of strange things also when it comes to Simchas Beis HaShoeva. The Gemara says in Sukkah, that the Mishnah says that in preparation for Simchas Beis HaShoeva and Beis HaMikdash, Chazal would do what's called by the Mishnah Tikkun Gadol, a Gevaldige Tikkun. What's the Tikkun Gadol? So the Gemara explains that the Tikkun Gadol was is that when they set up when under the auspices of Chazal, when they set up the place, the matzev for Simchas Beis HaShoeva, for the upcoming Simchas Beis HaShoeva, they created a space that will be men and women separate. The women had a balcony. It was in a way that there shouldn't be any chas v'shalom, any averus, or anything that crosses any lines. A separation between men and women. And the Gemara says that Chazal were very sensitive to this, specifically by Simchas Beis HaShoeva. The Gemara quotes sources for this, that the Yetzer Hara, a person has to be careful of. You know, even in times that you would think he wouldn't have any place to be, you always have to be careful. This is called the Tikkun Gadol. It's an interesting thing that the Mishnah would highlight this by Simchas Beis HaShoeva, you know, that dafka there was a added hadgosha, an added emphasis on Yerushalayim, on this inyan of protecting from the Yetzer Hara. The truth is we find this even in the celebration of Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So it's well known that Gemara gives a few examples of songs and statements that were said in the Simcha. So one famous statement is by Hillel. The Gemara says that he used to say this by Simchas Beis Hasheva, Im ani kan, hakol kan. If I am here, everyone is here. Meinat nikan, then mikan. So what does that mean? Im ani kan, hakol kan. If I am here, everyone's here. So says Rashi, simple pshat, means that he's giving musar. He's giving a chizik to the Yidden. He's saying that in the name of Hashem, if I'm here, and if the Shechin is here, if things are pekdusha v'tahara, then hakol kan. But if the Shechin is not here because there's inyanim that are breaking down Yerushalayim, then mikam, there's nothing going on over here. And this was a song, this is part of the celebration. So Vayter, a very strange thing, that in the celebration there's a hadgosha, there's an emphasis on Yerushalayim being focused. Another nigin, that was said by Simchas Beis Hasheva is, they would say, praiseworthy are those that were God-fearing in their youth, that their old age, they wouldn't be embarrassed of their youth in their old age. Doesn't sound like such a niggin that you'd want to dance to, but that's what was going on over there. So what's the Indian over here? We understand that obviously you have to be sensitive to your Shemaim at all times, but that it should be so innate and so an essential part of the Simchas Beis Hasheva, Ad Kidei Kach, that the first thing the Mishnah says in describing Simchas Beis Hasheva is that they made a tikkun gadol, that they made this the infrastructure to separate men and women. And in the celebration itself, the nigunim that are the only nigunim that are recorded in Chazal are nigunim that are emphasizing Yerushalayim. So it's a strange thing. We understand it's necessary, but it seems to be like essential and integral to the inyan of Simchas Beis Hasheva. So what does that mean? What's the inyan? So it's like this, Maseches Sukkah is obviously, the inyan of Sukkah is going to be found in Maseches Sukkah. So everything is dependent on both the beginning and the end, right? Beginning and ends are bound to each other, and that's the essence of everything. So it means that the end of Maseches Sukkah and the beginning of Maseches Sukkah, the Stam are going to be able to help us a little bit understand the inyan of Sukkah and the Melo the inyan of Simchas Beis Hasheva. So what's the last Gemara of Maseches Sukkah? The last Gemara of Maseches Sukkah is a very strange one, to end the Masechta like this. The Gemara says, a little background, the Gemara says that there was, the Kahanim were divided up into 24 different groupings, Mishmaris. And every week would be a different group that they would work in the Beis HaMikdash. And there were certain families, headed by certain families. Now the Mishnah tells us, the Gemara tells us, that the way it was is that every single week, the Lechem Aponim in the Beis HaMikdash was divided amongst the Mishmar that was leaving that Shabbos and the Mishmar that was coming in that Shabbos. That's when it would switch over. So it was divided, six for the previous Mishmar, six for the following Mishmar. And the Mishnah says the way it was is that where would they eat the Lechem Aponim? So the Mishmar that was entering, that was coming in, they would eat it in the north, Tzofen, which is a Chosheva. It's a chashur direction, indicating that they're coming into Avodah. The Mishmar that was leaving, they would eat in the Darim, in the south, indicating that they're on their way out. That's the way it was. Says the Mishnah, one exception to that. The exception to that was one of the Mishmaris, Biliga, that was then, I think, the name, yeah, Bilga. The name of the family was Bilga. The Mishmar Bilga, even when they were entering in to work, they would only be allowed to eat the Lechem Aponim in the south. And the Mishmar before them that was on their way out, they would get to eat it in the north instead of them. What's the Maisa? Why were they punished? So the Gemara, this is how the Gemara ends. Tan Rabbanan. Maisa be Miriam Bas Bilga. It was a Maisa. Bilga is the name of the head of the family. He's the head of the Mishmar. So his daughter, her name was Miriam. Says the Gemara, the Maisa was she Amir Dasa. She went off. And V'holcha v'nisis l'sard yotech m'malcha yavonim. And she intermarried. Molena, she meant to marry with the Greeks. Kishenichnasu Yevanim Lahechal. So by the times of Hanukkah, when the Yevanim broke into the Beis HaMikdash, Haisim of Etis Besandal Al Gabi HaMizbeach. So she was there. She was a wife of one of the Yevanim. So she comes into Beis HaMikdash, and she sees what's going on, that the Greeks are overrunning the Beis HaMikdash, and she, that, something stirs in her. And she, what happens is she takes her shoe, and she starts clapping, she starts hitting on the Mizbeach. And she says, Lucas, Lucas, wolf, wolf. She's calling the Beis HaMikdash like a wolf that just eats and consumes. Referring to Hashem also. And Moshe at the Mechal Mo'inim Shal Yisrael, she says, Lucas, Lucas, how long are you going to consume the money of the Jewish people? All their karbanis, it costs a fortune of money. But now when they need you the most, you don't do anything. So she hits the Mizbech like this. When the Chacham heard the whole story of Hanukkah and everything settles down, when the Chacham heard what she did, which was disgraceful to hit the Mizbeach like that, so this is what they made the Knas. They made the Knas that in her family, they shouldn't be allowed to eat the Lechem upon him in the north. Even when they come in, they should only eat it in the south. Says the Gemara, what happens was, says the Gemara, and because of this, Afal pi sheshchayne harishayim loy nistakru. Therefore, even though usually we have a rule of oyla rasha oyla shchayne, that if there's a rasha chas v'shalom, even the neighbors, you know, are affected by it. But in this case, shchayne bilga nistakru. In this case, the neighbors of this mishmar actually gain from it, right? Because if bilga, if this mishmar, even when they enter into the week's avoda, they eat the lechem upanim in the south, it means that the mishmar, their neighbors, the mishmar that was exiting, they get to eat in the north. So because of the downgrade of Bilga, the neighboring mishmar get a mila. They always get to eat their lechem upanim in the north when they go in and even when they come out. This is the Gemara. Then the Gemara asks the question, I understand, because Miriam does something wrong, her whole mishmar has to get punished. So says the Gemara, well, if Miriam did this, then Mastam, her father, knew about it, and she didn't, and he didn't reprimand her, he didn't stop it or whatever. So it's on him as well. Says the Gemara, okay, so it's on him. The whole mishmar, the whole family has to be taken down enough because of Miriam's mistake and because her father didn't say enough to her. Says the Gemara, well, we have a klal. Amar Abaya, Oyla Rasha, Oyla Shechina. Oyla Rasha, Oyla Shechina. And Toyla Tzadik, Toyla Shechina. So if there's something that goes wrong, the neighbors also get affected by it. So Miriam did something wrong, her father did something wrong. Oyla Rasha, Oyla Shechina, the whole mishmar goes down a notch. Hachin Ulach, Echol, Slikla, Masechah Sukkah. That's how Masechah Sukkah ends. It's a pili ployin. Why? What does this have to do with Sukkah? Like, this is how Masechah Sukkah ends. More than that, even in the story itself, you have this strange contradiction. Like, the Gemara's, you know, what do we learn from the story? So the Gemara's limud from the story is, oyla rasha, oyla shchayna. That if the rasha does something wrong, even the neighbors get affected by it. So Bilga did something wrong, Miriam did something wrong. The whole mishmar gets downgraded and only eats in the south because of their mistake. Yet in the story itself, the Brisa pointed out, well, if you think about it, when the Mishmar Bilga goes down a notch and they're forced to eat in the south, even when they enter in, it means their neighbors, the Mishmar that preceded them, always gets to eat in the north. So despite the fact that there's a rush over here, the Shechinim actually gained from it. One second. The whole point of the story was Oyla Rush, Oyla Shechinim. And in the story itself, you have the opposite message. So I understand. Is it Oyla Rush, Oyla Shechinim, or is it not? It's a Pella. So how does Masechah Sukkah begin? So Masechah Sukkah begins with an innocent Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Masechah Sukkah Gevoya Maser Ma'ama Psula. That's how the Mishnah, that's how Masechah Sukkah begins, right? So yeah, Sukkah she Gevoya L'mal Maser Ma'ama, a Sukkah that's taller than 20 Amis, Psula, is possible. Okay, right? Because you know you have to see the Schach, more than 20 Amis, so it's a possible Sukkah. Fine, that's the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, the Gemara is a kasha. We have another halacha in Shas that also is about something that's higher than 20 amis and it's no good. And that's the halacha of a kaira. When you have, in Hilcha Shabbos, you have different types of rishuyos. You have rishus harabim, rishus hayochid. To make something rishus hayochid, it has to be surrounded by walls. It has to be surrounded on four sides with walls. So it says that the halacha in Maseches Erev and Maseches Shabbos is that if you have an alleyway, so to speak, or something like that, it's surrounded with three walls, so it's not yet a Rosh HaSayachid. So it says the Mishnah, the halachi is, if you put a kair, if you put a beam, something to begin a fourth wall, then that's called a Rosh HaSayachid. Says the Mishnah in Maseches Erevin, Mavui Shi Gavoya Maser Mama, if this alleyway and the beam that you put to begin the fourth wall is higher than 20 Amis, Yimat, it's no good, you have to lower it. It has to be below 20 Amis. So ask the Gemara Kasha. When it comes to both Sukkah and Mavli have the same basic rule, which is over 20 Am is no good, it has to be lowered. So ask the Gemara, Maishna Gavi Sukkah, why is it that by Sukkah, Tani Psula, it just says it's possible. Sukkah higher than 20 Am is possible. But Gavi Mavli, when it comes to a Mavli, this alleyway in Hilcha Shabbos, it doesn't say possible, it just says what you're supposed to do. It says Yimat, lower it. So why doesn't it keep it uniform? It should say by Sukkah, either let it say by Sukkah also, Sukkah that's above 20 Amis, lower it. Or let it say by a mavoi that a beam that's higher than 20 amos is pasul. Why by sukkah does it say just black and white pasul, finished? You know, draw a line in the sand like that. And by kaira, by alleyway, it gives you an etzer of lowering it. So says the Gemara, a simple answer. The simple answer is, sukkah you've heard of already. By the time you get to Mishnayos, you should have learned Chumash already, right? So in Chumash, you've heard of a sukkah. So we're not introducing a new idea to you in Masechta Sukkah. You know what a sukkah is. You've heard of a sukkah. So we're telling you, sukkah, shigavoya, lamal meser mama, a sukkah that's taller than 20 amis, psu, that's not good. That's not the sukkah you learned about in Chumash. But when it comes to a mavoi, this alleyway and creating a new fourth wall with a beam, you've never heard of the idea before. So the Mishnah is not just telling you regarding that rule, it's introducing the rule to you. And therefore, by introducing the rule, it tells you what you're supposed to do. And what it's saying is that if you build this thing in a way that's Rhyme 20 Amis, that you what you're supposed to do is Yima, you're supposed to lower it. So when it's introducing the idea for the first time, it has to tell you what you're supposed to be doing positively, not just, you didn't do it right. I don't know what I never heard of what I'm supposed to do to begin with. You have to tell me what to do first. The sukkah, you've heard of. So therefore, you could just say, the sukkah that you just built is not the sukkah that you're supposed to be doing, that you've read about in Chumash. So by sukkah, it says pasul like that. By mavi, it tells you what you're supposed to do because it's introducing the idea for the first time. What does this have to do with bilga? And oil rush, oil shchena, and lukus? Beginnings and ends have to be tied to each other. What does all this have to? What does this tell us about the inyan of a sukkah? All right, so that was the tedious, complicated part. Now comes the hard part to explain. Where does the story of Torah begin? Of anything that we can even articulate, where does it begin? So like the Rizal says, we've quoted this many, many times, the Rizal writes in the beginning of Eitz Chaim that before the beginning, it was just Ein Sof, there's just the infinite light of God. And at that stage, all there is the Ribbono Shel Olam, and everything is Him. And there can't be anything, there's no room for anything that's not Him. If theoretically there was anything there, it would all be Gevaldik, right? Because it's God Himself. So what the Ribbono Shel Olam, but that's not the beginning, right? Because, so what's the beginning? Okay, so Rizal says, so Hashem, Kiviyachol, hides Himself, creates an empty space, and in that empty space, the first clear universe is now created, now enters into reality, that's called Atzilus. Atzilus in the Svarim, those that learn know, understand that Atzilus is a description of that first revelation of godliness. Not God Himself, but godliness. And in Atzilus, although Atzilus, it says in Pasuk regarding that Madriga of Lo Yugur Chara, there is no evil there. But repairs are still possible. Even in that space of Atzilus, again, we're not talking about infinite. So we're still dealing with, even though nothing is bad, Chas V'Shalom, but there's always room for improvement. And then you go below Atzilus. And by the way, the universe of Atzilus, that's the beginning of Torah. In the Zohar Kodesh, we find this in many places, that the letters of Torah, word Torah itself, Chochmas Hashem, the wisdom of Hashem, the thoughts of Hashem, which is Torah itself, that first appears, the first emergence of that is what we call in Kabbalah, Atzilus. Which is perfect, but there's always room for more. And then you go past that. Once you get past that, now you're talking about lower worlds. Now you're talking about our world. Our world is a Rishus HaRabim. A Rishus HaRabim. By the Kisvi Ari, we find this, that the difference between a Rishus HaYoch and a Rishus HaRabim is the root of that chilik in Hilchah Shabbos is coming from this Bechina. Rishus HaRabim means the lower world. It means Asiya, means this world, the place where there's a lot of opinions, a lot of different things, good and evil, mixed between good and evil. It's a rabbin. What's a rishus hayochid? So yochid means yichidah shel olam, the singularity of the world, the ribbono shel olam, the rishus of Hashem. That's called atzilus. And the entire avoda during the 6 days of the week, for example, is to try to somehow be in a rishus harabim and somehow connect yourself to rishus hayochid as much as possible. But primarily, it's the the traveling back and forth between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah Yachid. That's what defines the 6 days of the week. What's Shabbos? Shabbos is you can't carry from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Yachid, or vice versa. Shabbos, you have to pick sides. And of course, we pick Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So the inyan of Rosh Hashanah Yachid and turning a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim into Rosh Hashanah Yachid, the sukkah of a kaira, the sukkah of that beam, that fourth wall, is the inyan of moving into that dimension that's called that tzilus. That tzilus means a place of godliness. It means Torah. It means all good things. But there's always room for improvement. So kaira that's above 20 amis, yamat. You have to lower it. In other words, things can be improved. But what's a sukkah? See, Atzilus is the universe that first came into being. But the Gemara says that the reason why the Mishnah says sukkah, shigavayim, eser mam, is psula is because even before you mention the Mesech sukkah, you've already heard of a sukkah. It means a sukkah means something that comes before the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Rosh Hashanah Yachid is something that we're describing for the first time. A sukkah is something that we're referencing that existed before. If a Rosh Hashanah Yachid means Atzilus, it means the universe of Torah, the universe of God's wisdom, what is a sukkah? A sukkah is something that we know that existed before. A sukkah means a connection to what predates even Atzilus, what predates even creation itself, is a taste and a residing in that space that's called Ein Sof Mamash. We usually tend to think that once that originally it was all infinite light of God, but once Atzilus comes in, then that reality of pre, of before, of the reference to something before is impossible anymore. There's no insight. There's no infinite light everywhere. But this is the Soid of Sukkah. The Soid of Sukkah is that those that are Zaycha to reside in the Sukkah are indicating within themselves and to the world around them that they predate Atzilus. The Rosh Hashanah Yachid, Yechida Shel Olam, that dimension that is the first emergence of godliness in known reality, which is Atzilus and Torah, that you're hearing for the first time. But those that live in a sukkah are living in a space that was known before that. It was known before that. Those that live in a sukkah are revealing that not only are they comfortable, not only are they familiar with the Ribbono Shel Olam when he first moves out of hiding in the dimension of Atzilus, but they're comfortable and they know the Ribbono Shel Olam even from before that. Who sits in a sukkah? So it says in the Zohar, Parshas Emor, the Zohar says, Man dehu mishorsha v'giza kedisha d'Yisrael, those that are connected, those that are coming from the root and branches of Nishmas Yisrael, they reside in the sukkah. You know, the Gemara says in Maseches Avodah Zarah, the beginning, that ultimately, l'asid lavei, the ultimate clarification between Yid and Ein Yehudi is going to be the mitzvah sukkah. And as well known, what is the Gemara saying about Zarah? Because Hashem's going to give them last chance, right? He's going to give them last chance, a mitzvah kal, an easy mitzvah, is called the sukkah. Just build a sukkah and sit in the sukkah, finish. So they're going to build a sukkah, and you know what the Gemara says? Everyone knows that Hashem's going to take the sun out, it's going to be terribly hot. Mitzvah is put them in a sukkah, they're going to leave the sukkah. Says the Gemara, okay, but Yidden will also leave the sukkah then. Says the Gemara, nah, here's the chilek. When Goyim leave the sukkah, they kick it. When a Yid leaves the sukkah because he has to, he doesn't kick it. So they ask the Ishmaelites, I understand. Hashem said to them that he's going to give them a mitzvah sukkah. And what does he do? He doesn't give them a mitzvah sukkah. He makes them potter from sukkah. What type of... But that's the side of sukkah. See, if all you're connected to, if the only God that you know is a God of Atzilus, a God of Torah, a God of letters of the Aleph Beis, that first emergence of Atzilus, of godliness, then Halacha says that you're only connecting to that God when you're in the sukkah. If you're not in the sukkah because you're potter, then that's it. So then now you're in the empty space. So they kick it. But the whole site of sukkah is that when Mesech HaSukkah introduces a sukkah, it's introducing something that you have already heard of before. It's already something that you know from before. A Rosh Hashanah Yachid is not like that. Rosh Hashanah Yachid means it's the first time you heard it. But a Sukkah, because that's Atzilus, Atzilus is Yesh Mi'ayin, something from nothing. It's the first time. But what's the Ayin? A Sukkah is that Ayin that the Yesh comes from. And it's like a memory. It's a vague, vague memory. And those Yidden, those people that are coming from the stock of Yidden, that come from Nishmas Yisrael, then they know the secret, that even in a situation that you're putter from a Sukkah, you're still in a Sukkah. And you're still fulfilling Ratzon Hashem by not being in the Sukkah. And there is no empty space. There is no empty space. Because the God of pre-Atzilus, the God of Ohr Ein Sof, is as much now as he was before. Atahu ad shelo nivra olam, atahu mishnivra olam. But here's the ironic thing. That statement of the Mishnah, which tells us the side of Sukkah compared to Rosh Hashanah Yachid, whereas Rosh Hashanah Yachid is Atzilus, and therefore it's something that you're hearing for the first time. But a Sukkah is something that you know from before, which means a Sukkah is pre-Atzilus. It's before, which means that when you sit in a Sukkah, you're connecting to a light that precedes creation itself, mamash. What's ironic is that the halacha that the Mishnah uses to tell us this is this halacha that a sukkah has to be within 20 amas. A sukkah shigavoy, master mamas, psul. Why 20 amas? What's the name of 20 amas? The Gemara says, different opinions in the Gemara, but it's because 20 amas, more than 20 amas, it's not graspable. You don't grasp the fact that you're in a sukkah. You see what's going on? Is that inyan of the light of a sukkah, which means the light of infinity, the light of pre-creation, of Ohr Ein Sof, of this memory that's coded within Nishmas Yisrael, that no matter what we know, there is no empty space, and we're always sitting in Hashem sukkah. And it's something that predates the new information of Atzilus of Rosh Hashanah Yachid. The sukkah predates that. One would think that if a person... What one would be concerned, possibly, that information and that truth might make a Yid become less sensitive to the reality of life as we grasp it. A person, in other words, when you buy into that, you would think, okay, that means I am not going to take, you know, Yiddishkeit seriously, chas v'shalom. I won't take events in my life seriously. I won't daven for what I need because... I'm living in a sukkah anyway. In that halacha that reveals to us what a sukkah is, that a yid is able to sit in that space of Ein Sof Movadai, highlights the Mishnah, but you also have to grasp the sukkah. A sukkah can't be a space that you don't fully grasp. It means here's the side of Amunah, the side of... I spoke about this the first night of Sukkahs. A sukkah al gabe sukkah, a sukkah on top of a sukkah's puzzle. There's two sukkahs. One would think that this high sukkah, this Ein Sof experience of a sukkah, would therefore undermine the requirement and the need and the necessity of living life in a way that I grasp. But ultimately, this is what makes Klal Yisrael so unique. What makes us so unique is that even though we live in that, and we know the Rabbanu Shlom of pre-creation, that doesn't at all affect us to take any less seriously the God of Atzilus, so to speak, and the godliness of Torah. It doesn't take that away at all. It just means that as we navigate through Halacha and as we navigate through Yir Shemayim, it's with confidence, it's with intensity, it's with a certainty of the don notzach that we're going to be matzliach. Like the Mishnah, the Gemara says, this is, by the way, this is also, before I get to that, this is also the side of that story at the end of the Masechta Sukkah. What was going on over there, right? So it's like, this woman, Miriam, Bas Bilga, she went as far as you possibly can. She managed intermarried with the enemy. And al kidei kach, not just tamagoy, she intermarries with one of the Roman, one of the Greeks that are breaking into Beis HaMikdash, and she's going with him. She's not like, you know, she didn't say, well, you know, I'm going to my parents. It wasn't like that. She was going with him. She's mom. And what happens? When she sees the scene, that part of her which she thought was completely forgotten, the part of her that she thought was already iron, that part wakes up. Now, it wakes up in an unhealthy way, right? Because she takes her shoe and she starts banging the mizbech. You're not supposed to do that. And Chazal say that it's not good what she did. But here's the great secret. From the perspective, and this is, I have to be careful, like I was careful, you know, on Shavuos HaGadol, we spoke about this also. But from the side of Sukkah, from that side of pre, of from before, of pre-Atzilus, of pre-Tar, of everything being part of infinite light of God, that everything must be good. You understand? The very dynamic of there being mitzvah versus chayt is only post. When it's pre, if you're connected to that madrega of pre, then anything, not fruit, I mean from before, then anything that a person, anything that he does is automatically, to a certain degree, part of God's universe and part of God's space and part of God's plan, which means it ultimately can't be that bad. But the thing is, we don't grasp that. So what emerges out of the story of Miriam Bas Bilga? In their mishpacha themselves, it's oyle rosh, oyle shcheina. Because within themselves, they can't. You can't. You're not allowed to. Hashem doesn't allow the Jewish person to know this secret, that everything they're doing is still within the space of Ein Sof. But from the outside looking in, it was actually toiv l'shchein. It was actually toiv l'shchein. Because this is the dynamic that the Gemara at the end of Masechah Sukkah is trying to capture, which is that what happens when he does something wrong? Is it still in the Sukkah or is it out of the Sukkah? The answer is, of course it's still in the Sukkah, but they can't know that. And they themselves can't experience it as such, not until the Mashiach comes. So within her, within the family themselves of Bilga, it's Oyle Rosh, Oyle Shechina. It's Oyle Rosh, Oyle Shechina. Bilga does something wrong, Miriam does something wrong, the whole Mishpacha goes down. Because they did something wrong. And a Sukkah has to be within 20 Amos. And you have to live a life that you grasp, that makes sense to you according to right and wrong, and logic, and Torah. But the ultimate side is that behind the scenes, above your mind, from the outside, when you're being viewed from the outside, it's Torah L'Shechina, because it was never Oyle Rosh. That's the side of Sukkot. So the beginning of Masechah Sukkah, the end of Masechah Sukkah, are trying to reveal this truth, this secret. And this is what Sukkot's Boimik is really about, and this flows from Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Because what happened by Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Rosh Hashanah is a day that we begin to recognize the Creator. We recognize the one that said, and the world came to be. Nisha Amar V'haya Ha'olam. We recognize that there's a God of pre-creation, although we're not 100% on the same page as that. And then comes Yom Kippur, and like we spoke about in Shavuos HaGadol, Shavuos Shuvah, we say, Hashamdu l'shtikl negin. So all of a sudden on Yom Kippur, there's a little bit of that, of this side. There's a little bit of this side that no matter what a Yid does, it's always within that context of Sukkah. But it can't be fully celebrated yet. It can't be spoken of too clearly. It just has to be with the shtickle nigan. Comes the Yontiv HaSukkos, and now this truth is now out in the open. Now this truth is celebrated, although never really articulated still, but it's what we're dancing about. The simcha, so he asked, the Rambam said the Indian of simcha's beis hasheva is a simcha celebrating Torah and mitzvahs. So why not Pesach, why not Shavuos? The answer is, the Chiddush of Sukkos is that everything is Torah and Mitzvahs. The Chiddush of Sukkos is that even the mistakes, even what seems to be anti, what seems to be going against the current of Torah and Mitzvahs, is also Torah and Mitzvahs. Pesach and Shavuos, all you have is 613 to celebrate. When it comes to Sukkos, it's the Ashamdu Baganus also. So now the universe of Torah and Mitzvahs is so much more expansive. Because even Bilga and Miriam Bas Bilga, from the outside, from within themselves, because again, it's not grasped, it has to, you have to live in a way that you grasp, a level of reality that we can wrap our heads around. And therefore, within themselves, it's Oyla Rosh, Oyla Shechina. But the secret of Sukkos is that when we look at each other, when we look at each other, you have to look at each other from the outside. When you look from the outside, it's always Toyla Shechina. And that's the Simcha Yisera of Simchas Beis HaShoeva. It's because of this, and therefore, specifically by Simchas Beis HaShoeva, it's Mudgash, it's highlighted, the end of Yerushalayim. Because otherwise it would be a sukkah gevoya master mam. It would be a sukkah that's only higher than 20 amas. But a sukkah means that everything is ein soif, everything is toiv ma'id, but it has to be within 20 amas as well. Because you have to be able to know that in the back of your mind to give you strength and chizik and to give you the reason to celebrate. But you have to live a life that's within 20 amas. So within yourself, it's Oyla Rosh, Oyla Shechina by Miriam Bas Bilga. But from the outside looking in, the truth of truths, it's Toyla Shechina. So Simchas Beis HaShoeva, which is all about celebrating the infinite expansive domain of Kedusha, that everything is part of that infinite sukkah of pre-creation, that same Simchas Beis HaShoeva is being madgish. With that being said, we live lamata maser. The words that were said, that's the nekuda, the words that were said. What was done was mamish, what was done was lamala maser mama. The experience, the dancing, the tzaddikim dancing and everyone else watching, the juggling of what was up and down is up, that is a lamala maser mama, that's a sukkadik experience. But the words that are articulated, are words that are highlighting the Lamata Me'ezer Mama, which is the site of what Sukkos is about. This is why the Gemara says that from the light of Simchas Beis HaShoeva, all the Chatzeres of Yerushalayim were illuminated, and a woman would be able to sift through Chitim, she would be able to sift through her Chita, through her wheat, using the light of Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So Tosfos brings down, there's an Isser of Me'ilah. You can't have Hanah from the light of the Beis HaMikdash. How would we be allowed to do that? So Tosfos says, the meaning of the Gemara is that if, theoretically, it would have been possible. In other words, it was so light that theoretically, if you'd be allowed to do it, you can sift wheat using that light. But now it's a strange thing. Now you're coming up with some strange mashal, like Sappas. Chita is Begmatria 22. Which is the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, that's Torah. How does a Jew have the ability to, and the confidence to undertake the Avodah of the coming year, which is to sift through the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, to live a life of Lamata Me'asr Mamma, to live a life of Yerushalayim, of a Tikkun Gadol? How do you have that strength? The answer is because you know that all of your courtyards are already illuminated. Because that's what Simchas Beis HaShoeva does, and that's the site. After I spoke by Shabbos Hagadol, I can't say that, Shabbos Shuva. Yes, Pesach, I connected. But anyway, so after I spoke by Shabbos Shuva, so I got, you know, a number of people were asking, like, you know, are you allowed to say this? The answer is, I'm not sure. But we do what we can, you know. We do what we can. But this is the inyan. It's a site. And to know, and you can't, and it's hard to articulate. Because in terms of articulation of what your avoid is, it's your avoid is to sift through 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, is to live in a sukkah that's lamata meser mama, it's to say emanikan, akolkan, it's to say that my old age shouldn't be embarrassed of my youth. It's to make a tikkun gadol. But your ability to make a tikkun gadol and your ability to make sure that your youth doesn't embarrass your old age is because you know all your chatzeres are already illuminated. It's like I mentioned this before from the Ishmitzer. The Ishmitzer said, what's the story of Yid? I'll just say it quickly, because I know it's probably late already. But the truth is, my base of English was all night, so.
Yeah. All night.
There you go. So, the Ishmitzer said, what's the story of Yid? So the story of Yid is the marshal, a person that has a huge empire, a huge fortune, a huge business, and he has an only son. And he turns to his son and he says, Yankel, I'm getting old. The business is yours. Business is yours. I'll give you the keys right now. Norvaz. If I give it to you right now like that, then everyone's going to have tainas on me. All my employees have been working for 50 years, they're going to have tainas. This guy can have tainas. Nepotism, oh, look at that. And you yourself are going to have tainas. And this is the great secret vision. So he says, you yourself are going to have tainas on yourself. Where do you get this empire from? So says the father to Yankel, he says, Yankel, do me a favor and do yourself a favor. Start working in the mailroom. Work your way up. Know the business, but know that it's yours already. Says the Yishmael, that's the story of Yid. So you would go in Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and you know, it's the Ol Malchus Shemayim, and you're supposed to go into a year of Avoida, of clarifying, of sifting Chita. But you have to know that the business is yours already. So that's what your sukkah is. That's Simchas Beis Hashem. That's the joy of Simchas Beis Hashem. You're celebrating the fact that we know we already won. Like the Rosh says already, that's the Simchas of Nanuim, of Huv and Esrig, is to know the Don Natsach, to know that we already won. Not just the debate and the din of Rosh Hashanah. We know that we win next Rosh Hashanah and the next Rosh Hashanah, and every we win. But that chizik gives you the ability to then navigate and to live Lamata Meser Malam in the right way. This is why even in the sugi of Simchas Beis Hasheva, those blot the end of the Sechah Sukkah, the Gemara goes off on a tangent to talk about the Yitzhara, different names of the Yitzhara. The Gemara talks about the Indian of Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. These sugyas of Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David, and Bavli are in the Sechah Sukkah, in the middle of the discussion of Simchas Beis Hasheva. The Gemara goes off talking Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. Because that's the difference. Mashiach ben Yosef means under 20 Amos. Mashiach ben David means the Sukkah. But a sukkah shigavoya maser mam is psula. A sukkah has to be lamata maser mam because that itself is the yichud of Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. That's a gul barachim and that's Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu means the ability to bring together this to somehow, again, not necessarily does the neshama, the mind can't grasp it, but the neshama doesn't care. It doesn't matter. It doesn't need to grasp it. The neshama just needs to be given an avoida. So the neshama, the mind might not be able to grasp how you can dwell in a sukkah below 20 amos. How could such a thing be? How could you be in a sukkah, which means ain't saif, which means everything is good, which means that it's toiv l'shchenai, and yet it's l'mata meser mama, which means it's oil rush oil l'shchenai, and I'm living grasping the reality the way I am. How could it be that the illuminated chutzers of Yerushalayim give you the strength to clarify and to sift through chita? How can you do that? The answer is, it doesn't make sense. But this is the secret of Nishmas Yisrael. This is the oimik of why it's mitzvah sukkah that clarifies the difference between a yid and a yehudi. It's because a guy could also be an ain saif. Or he can be lamata meser mama. But a sukkah lamata meser mama, a guy can't be. A guy can't be. Because a guy has to understand. And a guy can't handle that disconnect of being in a sukkah, lamata meser mama. But that is exactly the site of Nishmas Yisrael. Mandu mi shorsha v'giza kadisha v'yisrael. Iyu nachis t'choy stolta v'nusa. Only that entity that comes from the root and branch of Nishmas Yisrael can and is and always resides under the shade of the emunah, the shade of the sukkah itself. And this is what the Gemara says, what Chazal say, that when a person is mekayem the mitzvah of sukkah, then Lasa Lovei, the Rebbe Hashem, will allow us to be in the sukkah of the Leviathan. The sukkah of the Leviathan is us to be able not only to grasp the world of Torah, but to mamish grasp the sight of Ein Saif. That's the sight of the Leviathan itself. You know, Hashem should bless us. Yishadaka v'yizaycha b'frat v'chlal. It should become clarified once and for all the difference between Yehudi and any Yehudi. And we should know that everything that Yid has, anything that we have, and ultimately will have is only Miyad Hashem, only directly from the hand of Hashem. And the Rabbanu Shem should make it clear to us that everything He gives us is Miyadai, Hapsucha, Rechava, Akdosha. We should be zech to experience that We should be zeichet the night of the Shvizim to the Moshe Rabbeinu. We should be zeichet to experience that yichud of Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David, to reside in the sukkah, lamata, meser mama, to be mischazik, to know that the chatzeres of Yerushalayim have already been illuminated, and using that strength to be mavar, to clarify all the chita. We should be zeichet to clarify all the chita. Be as God's like rachim and meir v'meir. Amen.